Hello and welcome to another episode of Hashtag New Teacher Journey. I had the opportunity to record a podcast with Dr. Lindsay Portnoy, and it was amazing. She is so passionate about what she does, and I cannot wait for you guys to listen to it and hear about her work and her experiences in education. She is a professor, and she's also an author, and once again, I was so inspired by the work that she does, and I had a lot of fun chatting with her, so I really hope that you guys listen and that you enjoy it. Thank you. And once again, thank you for all of the support. I appreciate it a lot. So to start off with, please tell me a little bit about yourself.
So first of all, I think, thank you for inviting me to be on this podcast. I think it's amazing that as a first-year teacher, you're creating such a valuable resource, and I'm really excited for you to reflect on this and to share at some point in the future how impactful it is for you. So I just want to put that out there because I think that what you're doing is amazing, and I wish more people would be as, I don't know, metacognitive as you are in this work. So that's the first thing. So about me, I was a elementary school teacher in New York City and was sort of, I taught for a couple of years in the city and was a little bit frustrated with the way that I saw education happening. And in my master's program, I had some really incredible teachers, professors, and, you know, I would always ask them questions, and they sort of were like, you know, listen, you can keep learning, you can keep going back to school. And I never even thought it was an option. But after I finished my master's, I applied and ultimately went back to school to get a degree in cognitive science to understand how people learned, in the hopes of helping to improve education by understanding the actual mechanism that is learning. So I did that, and then I worked for just shy of 10 years at Hunter College, which is one of the CUNYs in New York City. And I taught teachers, thousands of teachers across from K to 12. And then I started an educational technology company with a colleague that I had met at Hunter College who was a scientist. And that takes me to where I am now. I continued doing research and continued my writing. And now I am a professor at Northeastern University in their Graduate School of Education. And now I have my own doctoral students who I'm sort of supporting through their thesis journey. And
that's awesome. My end goal is to be a professor. So obviously I have a long way to go, but I'm thinking about teaching education down the road. So
do it. You are already on the road. You are already conducting your initial research. This is some beautiful qualitative data that you're collecting here.
So in education, we all have good and bad days. Please reflect on some good days you have had in education.
Well, there are lots of good days. I think my best days are typically when I have a conversation with a student, and through our conversation, they have this aha moment. I think my favorite are when I get emails from students after the fact about how a conversation that we had or how a class that we had changed either their research goals or their career goals or their life goals. One of my favorite, experiences was a student that I had when they were in elementary school found me, you know, over a dozen years later. The student had actually graduated in college and all of that good stuff, and found me on Facebook and friended me and said how I was, to this day, the student's favorite teacher. And then what I was able to tell that student is that when that person was in my class, I had been out sick, and my kids had, you know, they write little notes, I hope you feel better. And this person had written, you are my favorite teacher. And I had it on my fridge for years. And it was really cool because I was able to say, you know, it's really special that you said that, because I had your note on my fridge for quite some time, even after I taught, until we moved. And my husband was like, okay, you think it's time to take that down now? But teaching is really the most incredible, incredible career.
It is. And I think it's so powerful just hearing about those stories of impact that we can make, because I know as I'm starting out, I feel like some days are super hard. Like I had a rough day yesterday, and today was a lot better, but it is. It's definitely changing, and every day is a new start. But I think sometimes newer teachers forget that they're making a difference because we don't always hear like the good things because we haven't taught long enough to know or to see the impact that we've made.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what you're saying is really important on so many levels. And, you have to sort of go through the weeds to be able to look back and reflect and say, wow, that was really hard, but look at how great it is now, right? And I think like that's part of like even the worst days, you're learning something from the worst days. And sometimes it's not learning that you want to do, but it's learning that makes you better later. And you don't even realize it. I mean, really, you don't. I mean, most days I don't even realize it. And then a month or two or three later, I'm like, wow, that was, I'm glad that I went through that.
Yeah, because we grow so much through that struggle and that kind of reflecting on what's going on. I know that when I sit down and reflect on those hard days, I always find strategies I can try out, and then sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. But at least I have a basis to go off of because, again, when you're new, you really are trying to figure out things that work and kind of sometimes you're going day by day.
Yeah, but
But
even, I mean, even teachers who've been in the classroom for 20 years, when there's a new curriculum that comes down or there's a new method for teaching X, Y, and Z, they're new too. And so, there's always newness. And frankly, as we know more and learn more about how people learn, and as the way that we teach changes, we all have to be sort of new teachers, and we all have to be adaptable and flexible and saying, you know what, I'm going to pivot. Because what I've been doing for 20 years maybe isn't so great. So I'm going to look and see what is it about these new teachers that they're able to just grasp something and start running with it. So I think that, we can all learn a lot from each other.
So, kind of going off that, what are some things you have experienced that were difficult at the time, but looking back now, you learned a lot from them?
Oh, that's a good question. Just one, I mean,
I mean, you
everything,
could add multiple.
everything, so many. Gosh, I think like the hardest part for me, being a classroom teacher, the hardest part for me was teaching to a specific canned curriculum without flexibility. That was, I felt like it lacked purpose. I felt like I was constrained. And I think that so much of that experience has shaped where I've gone and what I've done with my career. I remember when I was teaching struggling readers, and there was this atrocious program that I will not mention, that was supposed to help them be better readers. And it was just a mass of text, and the image was not really related, and the text itself was like very disjointed and strange. It was all about how like eating an apple was sort of like a toothbrush because it cleaned you. I mean, it was just this bizarro, very long and wandering passage. And I'm sitting here thinking, why are we doing this to our kids? I mean, they're struggling with reading, so we're going to give them something that's going to make their lives even more complicated. And now looking back, I realized, okay, well, the missing purpose is why I studied cognitive science. And the process of iteration and reflection and trying something different and being able to pivot and think harder and smarter is what led me to what I'm writing on right now, which is systems thinking, design thinking. So, I mean, ultimately, it was a really hard experience. And meanwhile, I hope that in my now work, I'm going to be able to help change, what happens in the classroom so it is more purposeful.
Yeah, I love that. And I think we can always, we get shaped by our experiences. So, if, you know, everyone has a different basis to go off of. So it's cool that you get to incorporate those experiences into what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it's cool. I just look, I mean, the reality is I still feel horrible for those kids, and I think about my kids all the time and how, there were so many missed opportunities to provide supports for these kids that didn't, have those supports in place. So I sort of wish it was there already, but I'm happy to be doing the work now.
Yeah. So, what is one piece of advice you would like to give any new teachers?
One piece of advice, I don't know. Be selective about who you take advice from. No. My one piece of advice is always ask for feedback. And not because you always have to take it, but because different people see things differently. Not just new teachers, but all of us. I mean, we make so many assumptions in the way that we function in life. And the reality is, sometimes we don't know, and we don't know what we don't know until we learn what we didn't know. And so, one of the things that I used to say as well, if you don't know, just ask a question. But the reality is, sometimes if you don't know, you don't know what question to ask. And so, if you want to ask for advice on, what's something that you wish I had asked? Like I actually end when I do research and I'm interviewing folks, and one of my last questions is always, what's something that you wish that I had asked you, but I didn't, because that's sometimes where the magic comes. And so if you're, talking to another teacher, whether they've been in the classroom for 10 minutes or 20 years, hey, what is something that you wish I asked you, or what is something that you see that you wish you could tell me?
Yeah, and that's even on tests now. Like when I give my students assessments, I always try to have the back to just have them write something that I didn't ask in a question, but that they know. Because sometimes our kids know a lot, but then when you ask them questions, they either get nervous and then they're able to tell you verbally what it is, or they're able to write about it. And I always find so like a lot of value in just reading the responses and seeing everything that they truly know that maybe wasn't assessed by a test question.
My friend, you are already on your way to being a professor. That is such a beautiful, I mean, good on you for so many things. A test is not, it's a snapshot at best, but it doesn't capture what our kids know. And what you're doing, my goodness, just keep doing that. Keep doing that. Frankly, I think that that's more valuable than the test itself. I'm a big proponent of formative assessment. I think it's much more valuable and informative than any single summative test.
Yeah, I'm a fan formative too, because you could see where they're at and then make adjustments. Because otherwise, if we wait too long, then it's like, oh, there's a summative. And then, the kids, they either, like, I know the kids get anxious, and I have a few students of mine that are get really nervous, but they know it when I ask them in class. And then when we take a test, they freeze, and then they're like, I don't know what this is. So it's like getting them to kind of calm down and just say, okay, show me what you know. And we can work on it. Like my students make corrections and we work through it, because I teach math and I know that sometimes kids don't get it right away, but just because they don't get it right now doesn't mean they can't. So it's something that it's an ongoing process. So I always relate it back to teaching, because sometimes there's days where I go home and I'm like, yeah, that didn't go well. But then when I think about it, there's things that obviously I could fix, and then there's things that I may need to ask about, but I have to be able to be reflective and kind of vulnerable in that position too.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, and I think we all do. I mean, again, like this is not just about being a first-year teacher. This is just about being a human. Look, I mean, I've had kids since I was a teacher in the classroom, and now I'm like, oh my goodness, I wish I had known, blah, blah, blah. But meanwhile, now, if I were to go back, I probably would have missed something tremendously valuable that I shared. I mean, I'm just saying, like, everywhere you are in every stage that you're in, you're providing something tremendously valuable to the field and to the kids that you're working with. So yes, and in response to your comment about you teach math and there's always a different way, look, as long as any of us are teaching in a way that we're saying, like, this is the purpose, or what do you think the purpose is of learning percentages? My big kid is in sixth grade, and he was telling me the other day about percentages, and now we're like, all right, well, if when we go out for dinner next time, you get to figure out what tip we're leaving, if we're going to leave like a whatever 20 22% tip, whatever it is, right? And so you give them the purpose, and now all of a sudden it makes sense.
Yeah, it's all about that real life connection, because sometimes my kids are like, why are we doing this? Or and then we're studying like algebraic expressions, which there obviously is value, but with my students sometimes they don't see it right away. So with percents it was a lot easier in fractions to kind of be like, okay, when you're cooking or when you're shopping, and it made sense to them. But now with kind of applying variables and numbers together, they're like, what is this? So it is a different dynamic, but I'm always trying to get them to see that connection, because it makes learning so much more like real life, and they're able to apply that connection.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the only other thing that I would even add to that is that I think everything is real life. And I think when we broke education, it's when we took it away from being real life. When we started to silo content. So it was, okay, let's all learn Pythagorean's theorem just for the sake of using Pythagorean's theorem, as opposed to saying, we're going to build a playground and we're going to plant a tree. And we know that this tree is going to grow to be this height. And so how far should we plant it so that it doesn't, you know, fall on the school? I mean, that's silly, but the point is like when you teach something because you are using it, you're more likely to remember it and to call upon it and to be able to, I mean, it's knowledge, it's valuable knowledge. You're not learning something for a test. You're learning it for living.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of like the Teach Better and Grid Method kind of mindset of connecting those like standards and making units out of it. So I'm trying to kind of get there, but as like right now, as a new teacher, you know, you're focused so much on content and just trying to kind of make it through because, again, classroom management is new and a lot of things are just kind of you're figuring it out as you go. But I know that I always have that plan of like combining those real life units and making it more connected, because I think learning is isolated sometimes, and I think having the students see the connection to other subjects and outside of our classroom is really beneficial.
Absolutely. I agree. And frankly, that's why I was so excited that ASCD, you know, wanted to publish this book, because frankly, it's, to me, this is the book that I wish I had when I started teaching, because it makes the learning meaningful because it's applied and there's a purpose for it. And it's not a single, you know, one and done. It's an ongoing iterative, you know, questioning of the content in a way that you're really developing deep meaning that you can take and use and apply someplace else, as opposed to just learning it for a test and then, you know, next. But yeah, I'd love to share it with you actually.
I would love that. So how can people get in contact with you?
So you can find me on Twitter. I'm trying to navigate the Twitter world. It's my Twitter handle is @lportnoy. I also have a website with my name, just lindsayportnoy.com. You can send me a note at my Northeastern email address. All of those things, any of those things work quite well.
Perfect. Well, I really appreciated that you took the time to be on.
Of course. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's really an honor. And I'm so inspired by what you're doing. And I can't wait to see what's next. And I really do hope that, I don't know, I hope to see you. I hope to see you again.
Yeah. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you.